Welcome to Strategies of Life podcast. It's to help you lay out paths, directions, and to give encouragement. There are many who desire to have a change in their life, spiritually, physically, financially. To have that change, there's one thing that must be understood. You will have to embrace the pain. The pain of what you must get through to reach the best place or the good place from where you are now. You see, starting out, it's not the challenge, but it's when you get to the pain, that's when you start stretching muscles, refusing the habit, and having to start the discipline in your spirit. There are some that like to talk about starting to change. They know how to tell you, but they're always stopping at the pain. You see, the change calls for repetition. To make a change, you have to be faithful in the repetition to see a change in your life. Proverbs 14 and 23 says, "Work brings profit, but mere talk leads to poverty." Pain is between starting and the finish line. It's the process that brings the change. Welcome to Strategies of Life podcast.
Welcome to Strategies of Life. We're going to talk about where is God. Bring that into your life. But tonight it's me, Jody, here with you, as well as my co-host, Brother Josh Wiggins and Brother Will Neighbors.
Yes, sir. It's good to be here.
Absolutely. Good to have you guys here tonight. Yes, we want to talk on the point about where is God. How many's ever had an aspect in your life where you are something going on, a situation in your life, and you look around and the first question that pops in your mind is, where is God? Mm. You know,
I think we've all been there.
Yeah.
At some point.
Part of the whole human experience,
right.
I feel like.
Yeah.
It's crazy because, like, one moment life can be going good, and then all of a sudden, here one phone call, something happens, and then here comes the question, God, where are you at? Well,
yeah.
Right. Why did you lead me here in this area? So
right.
Either we believe the Bible or we don't.
Yeah.
And Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's a hard scripture to fully grasp and live by, because I want to think the good times are given by God, but
right.
But it's hard for me to understand that the bad times are also given to right. me by God.
It's hard on us too, not knowing the end result, not knowing where it's going to end up. You know,
go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm just saying we like to plan our lives out, and when we go through a hard time, we don't know when it's going to end. It's almost like a scary situation in life,
right.
And so to read that scripture there, it's kind of really hard to lean on that when you don't know where it's going.
Right, especially to be in an uncomfortable spot.
Right.
You know, one of the things that growing up in church that I always hear was the devil's attacking or the devil's doing
right.
this. I want to pause and say that it could be God trying to move you to a new area
yeah. right.
that only pain would take you to. I believe one of our first podcasts that we done was we were talking about
embracing the pain
yeah. and stuff. And sometimes it's pain that will move us to the next level of life. And
right.
Oftentimes the area I work in, One of the things we tell all the time is, or say a lot, is good times cause bad habits. It causes
right.
you to be lazy, mm-hmm. and it causes you not to push and put forth the effort that you normally
right.
need to be pushing for to be
True.
Successful at what you're doing.
True.
And I think that goes right back to our walk with God in everyday
right.
living.
Yeah, and I think sometimes, too, even if we put ourselves in a position to go through a hard time, it's when we cry out to God that he can actually use that. He can still let us end up in a good place.
Right, right.
You know, I don't know where you may be tonight or what you have going on in your life today, but I'm reminded of the story of Jonah.
Hmm.
Jonah was called to go to Nineveh. And you may be in a place that God has called you to go in a certain direction to accomplish something solely in your life, and you just fighting with it and don't want to embrace it and go with it, because Jonah said, when I get there, that's a perverse city. That's a city that that I don't want to have to deal with the sin there. But, you know, I couldn't imagine moving to a new place and the first thing I have to endure is conflict.
Right.
And so that was what I seen in the story of Jonah. He was going to have to deal with it. He was going to have to tell these folks they're a bunch of sinners. Yeah. They're a bunch of reprobates.
Right.
And welcome to town, Jonah. Yeah. Well, you know, yeah. So I could understand the anxiety that Jonah had.
And, well, I often wonder, though, if he would have told Jonah, I know he knew where he was going, but what if God would have told him the result of it? You're going to go to Nineveh, and I'm going to forgive these people. And just gave him the whole end result. Would he would have still gone, or would he would have actually just stopped and didn't even try to go that direction? Because it's not his way of thinking it. He didn't agree with that.
He hated Nineveh. Yeah. And there was a hatred that I read about in there that Jonah had toward the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to have anything to do with them. He didn't feel like they deserved the love of God. So he was prejudging them and putting himself into a situation. Yeah. How often do we allow God to call us to a certain area, and then we were like, well, that ain't the way I wanted it to happen.
Right. Yeah, and that's just proof that his understanding goes beyond us.
Right.
I think that's why sometimes we don't exactly know where God's taking it. But he knows what's going to happen when we get there. And I think if he told us ahead of time, I think we'd mess it up.
Right. That's true.
If everything went clockwise, you know.
Yeah.
In our lives.
Sometimes that's the way we want it.
Yeah. But God said, no, I use counterclockwise for you. Right. Because, you know, it's hard for God to get the glory if we got it figured out.
Yeah. That's true.
And so it could have been Jonah. You know, Jonah just up and goes there. He could have. Took the glory out of it.
Yeah.
But, you know, we all know how the story goes, that from there, Jonah goes and grabs a ticket and gets on a boat and goes to Tarsus. And then these men are in a storm. Jonah's in a storm as well, the storm of his life, and he's trying to sleep it off and hide away from it. And when the men find out that he's running from God, and that's why this storm is so much in our lives. And I would challenge you today to look in your life. If you're going through a storm, what may be God trying to use this storm to tell you?
Absolutely. It could be drawing you closer to him. It reminds me of Job, how Job, it says, was a righteous man. He knew all the rituals. He did all the sacrificing. He did everything because he knew of God. He just didn't have that close relationship with God.
Right.
And at the end of all that, what Job went through, if you notice right there towards the end, he says, now I know you.
Yeah.
And so God gained that personal relationship with Job. So really you look at the whole story of Job, and yeah, it was a tragic thing, and we mostly, you know, most of the time we use it for an example for someone who went through the hardest time probably ever in history. You know, as far as Christians, that's what we relate to.
Right.
But really, if you look at what he lost along the way, God knew what he was doing. You know, he lost his, donkeys. He lost so many thousands of camels. You really think about it, whose camels were those? Those were God's.
Right.
You know, you look at his children, and he said that he would pray for his children. What was his children doing? Drinking and just being happy.
Right.
They weren't out there worshiping God or living for God. In a way, if you think about it, God looks at all this as one whole picture. He's already lost his kids. They're not living for God. They're drinking. They're eating. They're being merry. What does the Bible say about sin? Eventually, it's going to lead to death anyways.
Right.
But then you look at Job, and God loved him enough, and then the devil comes, and God says, hey, I can use this. And the devil didn't even know it. The devil didn't know he was going to be used in that way. The devil thought he was going to destroy Job. God said, I'm going to save Job through this situation.
Right.
And Job, at the very end, he understood who God was, and now you see a man who has a personal, close relationship with God.
Right. And, go ahead. And talking about these stories, the Bible tells us that God's sovereign, and a lot of people... I thought about this today, like, what does sovereign mean? It means he's the ultimate power. So he's going to be the ultimate power if it's good and even if it's bad. Like, we get a misconception that God, like you said earlier, God's in control because everything's good. God must be in control. And then when we have a hard time, it's like, we just feel like God left us. Like, where is God? Like, the title is. And it's, we got to remember that he's always in control. He's always got the ultimate power no matter what season of life that we're in.
Absolutely. Even if it was us that messed it up.
Right.
God may have a plan for us and there's a purpose for it, but it could have been we made some bad decisions and put ourselves in a bad position. But trusting God and cry out to God, you're exactly right.
Right.
He'll take control over it.
I agree, guys. Some good stuff there. I would agree. But as we follow along a little more with Jonah, you know, the storm comes. The men find out that, hey, you're the reason. Hey, preacher boy, let's get you out of here. You can't ride with us anymore, because if you're going to put us in this travesty, and there may be something in our lives in a storm that God's trying to get us to get rid of, trying to cast out of our lives so that he can have control of our destination.
Right.
So they throw Jonah overboard, and you know, and then he goes into the belly of the whale. And what I like most about that story is it doesn't matter how deep you go when you repent. And Jonah, the Bible says Jonah repented, and God heard him out of the belly of the fish.
But doesn't it feel that way, though, when we get to that place in our lives? Doesn't it feel like you're, like, in the belly of a whale at the very bottom?
It's dark. Yeah, I mean, I could only imagine just being it. I've went fishing and caught fish and just smelling the outside of it and how slimy and different things. Could you imagine?
I could not imagine.
Doesn't seem like the ideal place to be.
No, not at all.
And then, you know, that fish is eating more.
Right.
And you feel like, well, at any time I could be digested. And this is just my imagination. Yeah. And the whole time he's just sitting there wondering if I will ever be. But is this thing ever going to consume me, or is it going to take me down? And just in the moment you're sitting there and it's dark, hopeless, and then you cry out to God.
Right.
And not only did when he cried out to God, the fish spit him out, but he spit him out on his way.
Right. Absolutely. Spit him out right where he needed to be.
Right where.
You know, it's crazy because even at the pit in the belly of that whale, he was still going in the direction. Right. I don't think he knew that, but in the belly of that whale, even right before maybe he even cried out, the whale was already headed in the same direction. I think God still had him on that path, but he did cry out to God. And notice when he spit him out, it was close enough to be on that land to where he was still on course.
Would you guys not agree tonight that somebody that's going through the storm of your life, quit fighting the storm. Quit trying to tread water. Give in and let God have control of whatever situation you're going through right now.
Right.
Because there's purpose in it.
Yeah.
We're not going through hard times just for the sake of it.
Right.
If it's just for that, then Romans 8:28 is not, you know, we need to get, you know, it's not because all things work together. The good, the mediocre, the bad, everything works together. Right. So I would tell you tonight, if you're going through a storm or you're going wondering, where is God at? Has he heard me?
Yeah.
I would stop where I'm at, and I would just cry out to God, just as Jonah did from out of that fish's belly.
Mm-hmm.
And I would ask, hey, God, what am I missing?
Mm-hmm.
What direction do I need to be going? What are you trying to get me from? Because, trials don't just happen. Life does happen. It rains on the just and the unjust.
It does.
But all things.
And give him that guilt. Give him that guilt and that shame. If you do feel like you put yourself in a position, you've made a horrible mistake, and now you're in this dark, dark place, he'll take that shame and that guilt too.
One other thing, guys, I would go over is today, just thinking about this, was Psalms 139. The Bible talks about it. David says, if I went to the heavens, if I ascend into the heavens, you're there.
You're there.
If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there.
Mm-hmm.
If I take wings in the morning and I dwell in the othermost parts of the sea, if I go into the deepest part of the sea, I still can't get away from God, as David said. So if you're in a situation and you feel like you're so far away from God, I don't know that there's any place deeper on earth than you can get in the sea. God's there. God's right in the middle of what you're going through right now.
Right.
And he will restore you. He will restore what you lost, and he'll give it back. Just like the story of Job. He replaced everything that was lost.
Yes. I mean, Job's just a great illustration of that. I know there's been times in my life where I would be looking around, and I'd be like, you know, God, you know, you said you're going to supply all of my needs according to your riches and glory. And I tell him that. That's just the way I just, me and him,
right,
chit-chat, talk, or whatever, how you want to say it, or when I'm praying to him, and I remind him, because I believe that's some of the key factors of being a child of God is he's a God that he should not lie, is what the Bible says. Right. And so I remind him, God, if you told me I could lay hands on the sick and they can be healed, then we don't need to be playing games, you know.
Right.
Let's see somebody healed. That's just me. That's just how. Hey, God, if you told me you was going to supply all of my needs, you know what I got need of.
Right.
Well, you know, where you at? That's questions that we all ask.
Right. Yeah, he's there with us.
In our financial struggles, in our health struggles, as well as our spiritual walk. But I believe tonight that if somebody can just grab a hold of this and understand that all things work together.
All things
work together.
I agree.
All things. Romans 8:28. Hold on to that. Believe it. Live it. And it all going to work together. It doesn't matter how difficult we make living for God or any of that. The Bible says in John 4:28 that God is a spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That he's a spirit. You know what excites me about that is when I think about God being a spirit, he's not only a spirit that dwells in one place, he's an omnipresent God.
Right. He's not limited.
And it doesn't matter if my problems happening in the north, in the south, in the east, or the west.
He's there.
He's there with me. He's going to be with me, what does the Bible say, even until the ends of the world. And I want to reach somebody's faith tonight and tell you that God's not a man he's going to lie, and and his word is forever settled in heaven. If you're going through something tonight, grab a hold of his word.
Mm-hmm.
Put his it in, truth. Apply it in your life. Man, there's nothing like grabbing a hold of that word and reading what David says. I went to Obedim's house because he was getting blessed, and I brought it back. And we know he danced before the Lord with all of his might. Yeah. If you can't get it by praising him, grab a hold of the word and start quoting it in your life.
Right.
He said, that's why David said, I might hide these words in my heart that I might not sin against you.
That's right. Well, you said it earlier that God's not a man that he would lie. Hold him to his word. Cry out to him. Read the word. Dig into the word. Mm-hmm. And cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm going to hold you to this promise.
I think God enjoys us doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think he enjoys, hey, you see them boys down there, they trust me.
Mm-hmm.
You see that lady? She read my word. She believes what I spoke into her life, because we all know how was the world formed. It was
by the word,
by the spoken word of God.
I can't remember their names now, but used to at Brother Mangum's church, there was an elder lady there, and one day her husband was testifying about this, and they were seeing some hard times, and he remembered going into the bedroom, and she was standing on the Bible. And I don't know if y'all have heard that story before, but they've said it several times over the pulpit there. But he had asked her what she was doing. She said, I'm standing on his word. And she was in there praying, literally standing on the Bible. Yeah. And I think Sister Mangum and maybe a friend of hers, and she was the one telling the story. But I've always remembered that. Hold God to his word.
Absolutely.
I remember as a kid, they would sing that song, Standing on the Promises of God. Man. Where's God at in your situation right now is the question we would ask.
Right.
What you got going on? Again, we want to reinstate. Stop. Look around. I promise you, if you look at it, you're going to look and see, hey, God's trying to push me to pray more. God's trying to push me to an area where I can be willing to give more. And, you know, we go back to Job. What if all that was simply the answer to his problems were when he was willing to pray for his friends?
Yeah. I think that was a breaking point right there, is when he prayed for his friends.
When God seen that he prayed, was going through all of this, and he says, Job's praying for his friends. Yeah. That's enough.
Yeah.
Get your hands off of him.
That's right.
What is that pivotal point in your life that could change everything you're going through?
Right.
Is it praying for an enemy? Is it praying for a friend?
Right.
Is it maybe giving something that you don't want rid of? Is it, you know, we look at Abraham. Abraham, he desired to see the land that God had promised him.
Right.
And he was living right on the edge of it, but he never could see it because, why? He had Lot's hand. And God allowed him to see his promise once he let Lot's hand go. There may be something in your life that's keeping you from that place that God really wants to take you that would devour your promise.
Right.
Well, you ever notice when we examine ourselves is when we start getting into that place where we feel like we're just stuck. What's wrong? Why is God not opening doors for me? Then we start examining ourselves. What am I doing wrong? And sometimes I think God sits back real quiet and like he's about to figure it out.
Right.
Yeah.
I'll give him a little bit. He'll figure it out.
And I'd also add, it's easy to ask, where is God? But are we actually looking for God in those times?
Very good point.
Are you praying? Are you fasting? Are you seeking? Because
if
you're in that place, God's trying to get you to look for him.
Yeah, and it's not going to be a quick answer.
Right.
If it was a quick and easy answer, we're just going to go right back into the rut we were in.
Yeah.
We wouldn't learn the lesson.
Accomplished.
Right.
And I believe God has divine plans, not plans and schemes that.
Right.
Well, we would like it to be
like a quick fix.
Right.
He's
intentional.
He's intentional. Yeah. He's an eternal God. Mm-hmm. This is all about.
He's thinking long term.
Long term, and you know, everything's. When we look at this, God wants us to have a prosperous life. The Bible tells us that. When he thinks thoughts towards us, it's thoughts of an expected end.
Right.
He thinks thoughts that we should prosper. It's not that he thinks that we need to go through a storm, but it's just
a torturous or
this is not
There's always a greater purpose for that.
Yeah, and that's what gets exciting to me is I see these things coming around, and I always pause myself. I'm like, before I get emotional, before I get just so mad and upset, and I do something, frustration sets in, and I do something crazy. Hold on, what's coming out of this?
Yes,
right.
In my life, I think that's happened so many times. And now, when I do go through a trial or a situation, I just wait. I just know that I know it's going to be okay.
Yeah,
right.
You know, I remember those times when I was so emotional and so just
been there, angry with God, frustrated at God, yelling,
and I'm sitting around here, and now as I've aged a little bit, I'm not perfect, and I'm not there yet. I'm still a work in progress. But I start looking around. All right, what am I supposed to be learning out of this?
Right.
What is God saying to me in this? You know, what can I draw from this that keeps me from getting in this position again?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. There's that movie they came out with. It was Paul. And then at the very end, he wakes up. You know, they kill him, and he wakes up in heaven. And it's like at the end of the movie or whatever. But it's just like this beautiful scene. And everyone he loved that went before, they're like in this field. And Jesus is out there, you know, and they're walking towards each other. And so in my life, I've always envisioned myself at the end result. Like if I feel like I've lost complete control and it's possible I'm going to lose everything around me, I would always go in my mind, I would say, but Lord, as long as I can keep you, as long as I get to embrace you at this end, whatever's going to happen, then it's worth it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And even in my younger years, I went through this stage, even in my teens, that I couldn't get it right. And I remember getting so frustrated. I told God, I said, well, even if I go to hell, if you'll let me look at you in the face and say I love you, then it would be worth, my life would be worth it. But I loved him so much that I would look at the end result And even when I thought I couldn't get it right, and I was like, well, surely I'm going to go to hell. I just cannot get it right.
Right.
But I loved him enough to say, if you'll just let me look at you and say I love you, then it's worth it.
Right.
Man, and that you say that, Brother Josh, that reminds me. And I guess I'm an old saint at heart or in mind or something, but I remember as a kid growing up, one of the old songs, since I can't sing, I just got to remember them all, yeah. I guess. But I remember, and I catch myself all the time reminding me of this, of the words of this old song that they used to sing. It'll be worth it after all, child.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be worth it after all.
Yes.
I don't know what you're dealing with right now, where you're listening from, what's going on with you, but just know that God put us in your ears for you to hear this. Mm-hmm. Everything you're going through is going to be worth it after all.
Right.
I want this to be a heartbeat for someone that's listening that needs this. Romans 8:28, all things work together.
All things.
Remember all things. Don't try to pick and choose what's the all.
Right. It doesn't say some. It says all.
All things.
All things.
All things work together. So, guys, anything else you'd like to add tonight?
No, just say to somebody to hold on and just know you're not the only one going through it.
Right.
We all go through these stages in life where it feels like we failed. Or it's just no end to it, but there is an end. And God's going to step in the end. He's going to reveal why you went through what you went through. And again, if you put yourself through there after making so many mistakes, trust in God, cry out to God, and he will make it for good.
Right.
He'll come through for you no matter what.
And just seek God in the process is what I would say.
Just tell him. Say, Lord, I'm just going to cry. Yes. Right. Lord, I just want to cry. Just hold me.
Right.
You know, if there's nothing else you can do.
And I'd also say, be honest with God about where you are. Don't try to, whenever you pray to God, I don't feel like you have to sugarcoat it. He wants you to come with your problems and with your burdens and come to him with it. So that's what I would say, too.
Well, Brother Will, you say that. Be honest with God.
Right.
Also, be honest with yourself.
Right.
Yes.
Here at the church, we started our SLC groups about prayer life. Reading word, Bible studying, just sort of having somebody to manage your life.
Mm-hmm.
And that's on my team, that's what I stress to them. You ain't got to put something down there on a piece of paper to impress me.
Right.
No.
What you impress me with is when you can come in there and be honest and say, you know, today it takes more courage to come in there and tell your coach that I wasn't able to complete this today than it does to tell them, yeah, I prayed 20 minutes. And knowing that might have been you sang two songs driving down the road, you know.
Yeah.
But you know, being honest with God, be honest with yourself, and find out, you know, what is God directing your life toward? Is there a Nineveh that you need to go minister to? Is he trying to humble you to an area that the people that are in your life that you can minister to the needs around you?
Now that you better understand them, too.
Yes.
You've been through it. You feel the emotion.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, old saying, here we go back. You can't have a testimony without first having a test.
Right.
Well, I think that emotion comes with it. When you're speaking to somebody, you've never gone through something, they can feel that empty words.
Right.
But, man, when you speak with emotion and tears in your eyes, they feel that. It hits their heart.
Right.
And they say, this must be truth.
Right.
And they listen.
Absolutely.
That's right.
Absolutely.
Well, guys, this has been a great evening. I hope we've touched somebody. Somebody will listen to this that searching where God's at in their lives and find that all things work together, that God's right in the middle of the storm they're facing. God's right in the middle of the good times, the blessings. Just like David said, if I make my bed in hell, he's there. If I climb to the highest mountain, he's there. God's there with us all.
Always.
He said, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And all. So thank you for listening tonight with us. Brother Josh wants to tell us about our email.
Yeah, you can email us with any questions or if there's a topic you guys would like to hear, mpt1985@yahoo.com.
All right. Guys, I appreciate y'all coming and joining us tonight. Hope we blessed you. Have a good evening.
See you next time.